بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمدللہ رب العالمین، والصلاۃ والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وصحبہ وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا، فما بعد، مائی برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز، اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی جل جلالہ گیو اس دس لائف اینڈ ہی کالڈ اٹ اے ٹیسٹ. آئی تھنک دس از maybe the most important thing to understand about our lives. And it is not understanding this which leads to the maximum amount of confusion and stress and all kinds of negative things that happen in life is because we don't understand the actual nature of this life, which is that it is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your wealth and your children are only a trial, they are only a test, whereas Allah, with him is a great reward. And this is in Surah Taqabun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everyone is going to taste death, and we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good. With evil and with good. And to us you will be returned. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see how we normally deal with life. The way we normally deal with life is that if we get something which we like, we get a great job, we get money, those who want children get children, those who want to get married get married, property, we get influence, political influence, social influence, all kinds of, within quotes, good things, and we are very happy, right? We are extremely happy. Oh, wow, fantastic, great, lovely. And we are very busy being happy. We, those of us who have tawfiq, also make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. But then we are very happy. We say, okay, I've got this, alhamdulillah. The one who says alhamdulillah, it's good for him. The one who doesn't say that, still enjoys what he gets. On the other hand, when we have challenges with our health, we start feeling pains and aches, and then we get, this or that ailment, some of them serious, some of them not serious. We have loss, financial loss, we have maybe loss in terms of accidents, we have problems with our children, with our spouses, we end up in a situation where the problem is not of our making at all, but because of the country we live in, and their own policies and politics, we as ordinary citizens, we get into trouble for no fault of ours, and we have to face all kinds of situations, some of them extremely some of them extreme. All of this, now when these are two, I'm giving you sort of two possible situations. One is where things happen to us which we like and we appreciate, and where things happen to us which are the opposite of that, we don't like them, they are painful. In the first case, the general population in the first case is happy, and in the second case, the general population is unhappy and it groans and moans and complains. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, told us, Allah did not say that even though it is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah did not call it His fadl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a test, meaning the wealth and the health and the children and the families and the influence and so on that we get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, this is the fadl of Allah, enjoy it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, the opposite of that, which is lack of influence, lack of popularity, physical trials and tribulations, financial, emotional, family, relationships, and so on and so forth, all of these are also tests and trials from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who understands this, Rasulullah said, how beautiful is the situation of the Muslim when he gets something, when he has a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes shukr, and when he has something which is the opposite of that, when he has some pain and some loss, he makes sabr. He does not complain, he doesn't moan and groan. Now, as I said, this is the so-called secret of life. If we understand this, then we don't get disappointed, we don't get frightened, we don't get stressed out, we don't have any negative things with either of these things. We recognize it for what it is. So when we have plenty, when we have health and wealth and so on and so forth, influence, then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, but we wake up, our eyes open, and we say, well, this is a test. Now, what does Allah want me to do in this test? So I find out, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do with my time, for example, if Allah has given me free time. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the famous hadith of 5 before 5, he said, take care of these things. Free time before you get busy. So now, take care of free time means what? It means use that free time productively. Don't waste it. Don't use it in negative things. Don't use that free time to earn the displeasure of Allah. Use the free time to earn the pleasure of Allah. Do things in that free time which are also enjoyable, but which are also beneficial for you in the dunya and akhirah. This is the beauty of Islam. The beauty of Islam is that you don't have to sacrifice one for the other. You can live in this dunya doing things which you enjoy, having great fun, having great success, absolutely top of the world, while attaining Jannah in Akhirah. Both are hand in hand, both go hand in hand, and that's the beauty of this religion. Allah did not tell us, suffer in this life, deny yourselves everything which is good, put yourself to pain and trouble, and only then you will get Jannah. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, use the blessings that I have given you according to the way that I showed you, which is the sunnah of my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will enjoy the benefits in this life, and you will enjoy Jannah in the Akhirah, inshallah. So if I have free time, what do I do? I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then I ask myself, what is the best way of spending this free time? And I spend it in a way which is beneficial for me, I enjoy doing it, and it also buys me and gets me my akhirah. I have wealth, I have surplus money, I have lots of funds. Then I ask myself, I say, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me a lot of wealth. Now what is the best way of spending this wealth so that I am happy in this life, and I am also building my akhirah? Obviously, self-indulgence, superfluous spending, ostentatious spending does not get me that. Because when I am doing that, it doesn't even give me satisfaction and happiness in this life. Go and Google celebrity suicides, and you will see the number of people, celebrities, people whose level more than likely all of you listening to this podcast will never reach, and I hope you never reach it. Either in terms of their wealth, or in terms of their popularity, or in terms of the, you know, number of likes on Facebook they had and friends on Facebook they had. Just ask yourself, why did they commit suicide? Because if all of this is supposed to buy happiness, why do they commit suicide? Happy people don't commit suicide. People, even sad people, don't commit suicide. People who are in complete despair, who have lost all hope, these are the people who commit suicide. And to have complete despair and lose all hope is kufr. We don't do that in Islam. Alhamdulillah, we never lose hope, and we never despair of the mercy of Allah, of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. So Google celebrity suicides, and you will see the number of people there, and ask yourself, how come the stuff which I am chasing, these people already had it? So what happened? I am chasing this stuff because I think it's going to make me happy. This is my brainwashing. Now, here are people who already had that stuff. So, therefore, they were already happy, or they were supposed to be already happy, according to the brainwashing that has been done to me. So, how come they committed suicide? Ask yourself this question, right? So, when we have wealth, we ask ourselves and we say, okay, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me wealth. Now, this is a test. It is not something that I go and have a party about. It's something that I see as a test. How can I pass this test? Allah has given me good health, Alhamdulillah. Allah has kept me free from all diseases and ailments and so on. So what must I do? I must ask myself and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has kept me free from all this. Now this is a test. What must I do with this test? What is it that I must do in this time when Allah has given me good health so that I can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Allah has given me knowledge. Allah has given me ilm. Allah has given me knowledge of different kinds. I must ask myself this question. Alhamdulillah, I'm not an ignorant fool. I have knowledge. Alhamdulillah, what must I do with this knowledge? How can this knowledge benefit me in this life and in the next life? So now when I have wealth, I use this wealth just in self-indulgence, just in super luxury, just in ostentatious spending, trying to show off, and so on and so forth. What have I done with the wealth? No, even though I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the wealth, but when I used it like this, did I pass the test? Did I fail the test? Allah has given me knowledge. And what do I do with the knowledge? I use it to feed my arrogance. I use it to feed my ego. I use it to find faults with people. I use it to play politics. I use this knowledge in order to humiliate other people so that I can look good compared to them. And not only is that pathetic, but that shows that this test of knowledge that was given to you, you failed it. Because that's not why Allah gave you knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this knowledge to guide people. Allah gave you knowledge to help people, to support their hearts, to build them up. Allah didn't give you this knowledge to try to destroy people. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not ever learn knowledge in order to argue with the fuqaha and to look good before the fools, before the sufaha. And he said, do not gain or learn knowledge in order to attract the eyes of people towards yourself for the sake of popularity or for the sake of money and so on and so forth. So these are three reasons why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never acquire knowledge for that reason. So if I am acquiring knowledge and this is what I am doing with it. Now imagine, remember that these are difficult things to admit to yourself, because you will never say that. The person who is doing this will never accept it. So it is something that you have to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what is it I'm doing? And then look in your own life, look in your own actions to find data to support that. So supposing I say that I have this wealth and I'm using this wealth only in good causes, well, what is the data in my life which proves that? I say I have my health and I have strength and I'm using it only in good causes, what is the data in my life which shows that? If I say I have knowledge and I'm using it only for good, then what is the data in my life which is showing that? And so on and so forth. So I'm just naming two or three things. This applies to everything. We're talking about the good stuff. Now the negative side of it. I don't have health. I have ailments. I have sickness. I have pain. I have suffering. What must I do? That is also a test. How do I pass that test? In the case when I had good health, I passed the test by making shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using that health and wealth and knowledge and so on in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I have the opposite of that, when I have pain and suffering, Allah gave us examples of both. Allah gave us the example of Ayyub alayhi salam and Allah gave us the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Both sides of the picture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us examples of what we are to do. And in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have all of this condensed and put together in one place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gave us, may Allah protect you all from this, but Allah gives, and these are trials and tribulations and these are the qadr of Allah. So Allah may take away things from us. Allah may take away our health, Allah may take away our children, Allah may take away our wealth, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah to protect us from this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us without any of these trials and tribulations. But if it happens, what do we do? Number one, we make, at the lowest level, we make sabr. We say, Alhamdulillah. We make sabr. We didn't say anything. At the highest level, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. We say, Alhamdulillah. My Rabb, and this is Ayyub alayhi salam. He said this. He said, somebody asked him, when was the happiest time for you? He said, the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to inquire, Ayyub, how are you? And he used to say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And even his dua, he said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when the disease came on his tongue, he said, this is preventing me from making dhikr of you, and therefore please cure me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured everything. So the point is that here, when we have an issue of health, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say alhamdulillah, and we ask Allah to relieve our suffering. Similarly, when you lose wealth, what do? You say, alhamdulillah, I lost it in this life, now I don't have to give hisab for it in the akhirah. So, alhamdulillah, thank you. Alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair. Alhamdulillah, I have lost this wealth, I don't need it. If I lost it, alhamdulillah, I am glad that I lost it because I was going to lose it anyway. Just ask yourself this one question. When we go into our grave, what loss can somebody feel when that person remembers that a day is going to come when he will even be divested of the clothes on his body, right? Just remember, this is the one reality. How can you feel loss and how can you feel regret at losing anything when your reality is that you are going to go into your grave naked except for a piece of cloth to cover your nakedness, which is the kafan, right? Everything will be taken away from you, from including the garments on your body. That is the reality. And that is going to happen to you whether you die as a king or whether you die as a pauper. That's it. So now, if I lose anything which I have today, how is it a loss? Why must I feel regret for it? Because this is going to go anyway. Even if I had this thing, when I die, that was going to be taken away from me. So alhamdulillah, it went. It went before that day. So why must I regret it? But that will happen only if we remember that one day I'm going into the qabr naked. Similarly for everything else, whether it's my children, whether it's my family, whether it's relationship, whatnot. Anything we lose, we say alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Allah, you saved me from this trial. By taking this away, alhamdulillah, now I don't have to answer for this particular thing. This is gone. Alhamdulillah, it is gone. We don't ask for it to be taken. We enjoy it while it is there. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. But when it goes, we do not regret. We do not cry. We do not mourn and groan. We do not say, oh my God, this is gone. No, we say alhamdulillah. Because nothing unusual has happened. This was to go anyway. And that includes our life itself. Because one day, we will lose it. And what will we gain? If we live our life in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for us, you will lose this life and you will gain the life of Jannatul Firdausul A'la with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now tell me, anyone with an iota of iman, if he was given this choice, this or that, what will he choose? What will he choose? And that's the reason why in the Bir Ma'un catastrophe, when the Sahaba were taken and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent 70 Qurra to this tribe and they deceived Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they killed them. When their leader was speared from the back and the spear came out of his chest, he said, Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. He said, I have succeeded by the Rabb of the Kaaba. As he died, he said, Alhamdulillah, I have succeeded by the Rabb of the Kaaba. He took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Alhamdulillah, I have succeeded. How did he succeed? The man who killed him, he freaked out. The man, he went from the other people who, a couple of them who were still alive, and then later on with other people, he asked them, he said, I just killed him. I just killed the man, and he says he succeeded. How did he succeed? So they explained to him, he said, he died in a state of iman and he died shaheed fi sabilillah, is Jannah for him. Allah has forgiven all his sins right here on the face of this earth. Before one drop of his blood fell on the ground, all his sins were forgiven. The man succeeded. And subhanallah, the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the man who killed him accepted Islam. And this is the beauty of Islam. The man who died went to Jannah, the man who killed him also went to Jannah because he accepted Islam and he died in a state of Islam. My brothers and sisters, this life is a test. The one who passes the test will get Jannah. And that is where we will finally be free from all tests. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. The one who has obeyed Allah and who has obeyed Muhammad or Rasulullah, only that person has achieved final success, after which there is no test. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased, and to enable us to live this life in a way where we pass all the tests and until we reach the final, and then we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.